Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point, and the point of episode 44 today is Hayden Spieth. You might remember Hayden from season 1, episode 18, nearly 2.5 years ago. I'm excited to welcome him back to further our conversation about 440 kicks and all that Hayden Spieth is up to. Hayden, how are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm phenomenal. Again, it is an honor and a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate your time, as always. And you know what? I just realized it's episode 44.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's so perfect. It's just like we drew it up. We didn't do it on purpose, but it's just like...
The stars align. No, this was meant to be.
It is meant to be. Hayden, thanks for being here again.
Of course.
Why don't we give us like a brief overview of kind of what you're up to, who you are, and for anyone who hasn't listened, maybe what your main endeavors are with 440 Kicks.
100%. So for those who don't know me, my name is Hayden. I go by Spee. All my friends call me Spee. My last name is Spieth. I started 440 Kicks in like 2020, I guess, is when I got my LLC, but I had been selling a few years before that. And if you tuned into our first chat, you'll hear about how I kind of scaled from that 2020 to 2021, where I was like selling to stores mainly. I was going to trade shows, kind of networking, getting my name out there, focused on like bulk distribution. And then I really turned my business from providing to, you know, the wholesale and to the stores and focused on my own clientele. And the way that I did that was I got recruited by an app called Whatnot. And if you guys don't have it, you should download it. It's a really sweet app. They have a bunch of categories from comic books to Legos. They got the sports cards, shoes, sneakers, like anything you could think of. They're running a dollar on it. And actually, I think they just added live plants, which is pretty crazy to think about.
You could
actually bid on plants and have it shipped to your house. But
things dead when it gets there.
That'd be crazy. They got to have some insurance on that. But so basically, I got recruited by a dude named Gabe. Shouts out Gabe. He's an OG, like absolutely wrecking the sneakers and streetwear category right now by bringing on all these cool sellers. He was kind of their PR guy to go to these sneaker shows and, you know, pick out people that they think would be good sellers on their platform. Because Whatnot is a relatively newer app. I think they came out in like 2020, 2021. And I was one of the first sellers they brought on in the sneakers category. The dude came up to my table like, yo, you got a really nice setup. You know, we were talking for a minute. He's like, I like your vibe. You should try this Whatnot app. And at first I was kind of like, you know, I don't know, man. Like everybody's always handing out business cards at these shows.
Right.
I don't even use business cards anymore because I think they just end up in the trash all the time. Like you either have to have one of those dot cards or just have them pull it up right there. But I put the card in my back pocket and I was like, okay, whatever. Like I'll look into it. He got my phone number and it was like, couple weeks later. So I want to say now it's like first week of January 2022. He gives me a call. Hey, Hayden, we'd love to get you on a show. You know, let's set up a first live stream and see how it goes for you. And I was like, okay, you know what? Screw it. Like, let's try it out. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was always that guy to take advantage of any opportunities that were given to me. Mm-hmm. Granted, he didn't really, like, fully sell me on the concept when I saw him. I kind of was just, like, stuck in my ways. Like, no, I like going to shows. I want to just push all this inventory and stuff.
Sure.
But I wasn't really profiting from it. I mean, when you think about it, you have to either fly or drive to an event. You have to find how to get all of your inventory there. So if I'm flying somewhere, let's say it's $500 for the flight, and then I'm spending $1,000 shipping like 15 big boxes of shoes down. Mm-hmm. Then you got to get the U-Haul. Then you're paying for the table tickets and the table, which are not cheap. That's at least $300-$400 right there. Then you got to figure out who you're bringing on your team. So are you buying their flights, you know, covering their lodging kind of thing? So it just gets really expensive. You'll make $3,000-$4,000 profit at a show selling all your stuff, but then that's all your expenses too. So I was really at a point where I was struggling to gain traction and kind of like scale. And I felt like I was really just rinsing and repeating what I was doing. So anyways, I get on a call with Gabe. We set up my first show. I run it. I thought it was really cool. I had like 100, 150 people in there, you know, people dropping in the chat. I was just like super amped up off a bang, like just straight caffeinated, like, yo, what's going on, chat? Like, just showing all my inventory and stuff, getting a lot of cool feedback from the chat. And I kind of fell in love with it. So after I ran my first show, he calls me like, yo, we want to sign you on a mini contract to where you get a payout right when you sell your item, because you weren't getting your payout until the buyer delivered the item. They're like, we want to offer you to where you will get your payout right when you make a shipping label. And so meaning I could have my money like the next day from when I sold it before I even ship it. And we want you to run 2 streams a week. And after I ran that first stream, I was like, man, that's a lot of work. Like I was writing sales down as they were happening on the screen. I packed the whole stream myself after. I mean, it was like an 8-9 hour endeavor just to self a couple hours to set it up. It was like a lot of time and effort to put into just running one show by myself. But I was like, let's do it. Like I liked it. I see a very large opportunity here. And that's where my mind kind of saw where the economy could shift from like a brick and mortar standpoint to like a live streaming service. I mean, the convenience of somebody being able to just sit on their couch and buy something they like, knowing they don't have to leave. They're just getting it shipped right to the door. And to add the price factor onto it too, because I mean, I was letting stuff go for the low. Like it really is the ideal shopping experience if you don't want to leave your house. So I signed the contract. I started running two shows a week, and it was like burning me out. Like I was like writing everything, like I said, packing everything, and I was like, man, this is killing me. So thankfully, I was living with the three guys still at the time.
Okay.
And I was like, guys, you want to make some money? Like, I need help writing stuff down and shipping stuff. And they're like, sure. So I would just rotate my buddies in on like a little schedule. I'd have Dom sitting there writing stuff down as I sell it, and then I'd have Colson packing the stream either that night or the next morning, and I kind of got in a nice flow of things, and we're pushing, 100, 200 items a week. Wow. And at that time, I was like, this is crazy volume. I'm selling maybe 100 items at a show on a weekend, and I got to fly there and drive there. Now I'm doing 200 units a week from my house just, like, sitting here.
Right. You're saving yourself a lot of time.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. Like, it was so efficient. I was like, what's the point of even going to the shows if I can make money here and there's no overhead? Like, what's my overhead? My rent and the packing supplies and paying my guys? Like, it was like – so I just ran with it, and I was running two shows a week, and then I started running three shows a week, and then – it got to the point where I was just everything I was buying was just strictly for my Whatnot streams.
So cool.
So there is a serious risk factor in doing dollar auctions. That's first of all, that's the one thing that's going to bring people to your channel or to your stream is that you're running $1 auctions. Because if they know you're just pinning prices, they're like, they're not as inclined to buy something. But when you start at a dollar and you see a cool piece retailing for 60 to 100 plus bucks, people are just sliding trying to buy it. So I really had to focus on not buying like the $200 sneakers, and really like I focused more on clothing and like $100 to $150 like dollar brand new shoes, like lower price values,
right?
Because there's always a chance you're going to lose on a product. I mean, I look at it like going to the casino. You're gambling. You don't know if you're going to win or lose on that. You don't know who's in the chat wearing what size, what they're looking for. Do they want something brand new? Do they want something used? What's their shipping and taxes look like on top of their order as well? So there's a lot of different factors that it's hard to like pin down the direct economy of like an app like Whatnot. But it was just trial and error. I mean, I was selling sneakers, and then I started losing on it. I was like, okay, I can't do the brand new sneakers. You know, there's not enough margin to where people are going to bid over what I paid on it.
Right.
Also, considering the fact that they charge a 12% fee. So that's hefty. It's a chunky fee right there. So I started buying used shoes. So I think it was probably 8 months into my endeavor, 9 months. And I guess I'm jumping the gun a little bit, because at the end of 2022, they're like, hey, we want to sign you on a full-year contract. So we're going into 2022, and I'm like, okay, the brand new shoes aren't hitting anymore. The COVID money had kind of dried out. You know, people were still spending dumb money on stuff because they had just free money sitting in their hands.
Absolutely.
And I was like, okay, I gotta be dynamic here. I gotta switch out my model. The brand new shoes aren't hitting. So I start going to these shows, and this is the first time in my life I was buying used shoes. Like, never really dabbled.
Yeah.
Other than when I originally got into sneakers, I had like 2-3 used shoes at a time. Would clean them up, make $20, whatever. Now I'm trying to buy hundreds of used shoes, knowing that I'm going to start them at a dollar, knowing that I'm going to have to think of a way to get them all cleaned. And, what are my requirements on buying a used shoe? Am I going to buy a beater? Am I going to buy, lightly used shoes? Like, I didn't know where to go with it, really, because there's so many different types of used shoes. Like, some shoes you could buy for $5 and they're cooked. But it's like, do I want to restore those and try to sell them?
Dude, that's a whole new market.
Oh, whole new market. I mean, anybody that knows me, they know I was a brand new guy from the jump. I was selling in stores only, so they only wanted brand new shoes.
That's incredible too. But I love, like, throughout all of it, you keep your humility too, man. That's something I've always lauded about you. You keep your humility. Like, you're just like, you know what? We're in this new situation. We're going to go for it. And you always bring that great attitude.
So. I appreciate that. Yeah. So I go to this show in Detroit, Michigan Sneaker Exchange. It's like March of 2023. And I bring like 20 grand cash with me, like just looking to cash out, whatever. And I'm just buying these used shoes. Like, I even bought this kid's table out. He had like 70 pairs. And they seem like good prices, under $100 retros and stuff, like all with the box. I was like, okay. Work a deal out with him. I end up coming home with like 120 used pairs, thinking I'm about to make this killing,
Sure.
And again, like the crazy thing about used shoes is the only thing you really compare it to are, of course, used shoes, in the same size and stuff. But like everybody compares it to the brand new cost. So if you're looking at a 5-year-old retro, like an OG Jordan 5 Grape, brand new is going to be $700. But somebody might have a used shoe and they're like, they want 120 on their ticket. And I'm like, okay, maybe if I could get to 80, I feel like I'm getting a good deal on it.
Right.
So I get it for 80, thinking I got this huge margin spread that like, okay, it's not brand new. It's pretty clean, but I could clean it up and maybe get, I'm thinking I might get like 250, 300 for it. So I run my first stream and I was getting waxed, like just absolutely killed, throwing stuff up for a buck and just like that Grape 5 for $80 like that I bought would go for like 60, 65. And then I'm taking a 12% cut on it. So I was like, holy crap. Like it was such a learning curve. Like, okay, I have to lowball the shit out of people. Like if I want to buy these used shoes and make money on it, I just have to offer a low price. And it's hard sometimes because you want to bring flavors to your stream that I was like desperate. So I was willing to pay a higher price, or I guess I didn't know it was a higher price, just to bring that flavor to my stream and my clientele. So it was just like a learning curve, couple shows. I mean, I'm going and I'm okay. I see the Jordan 5 Grape. Now I'm paying 60 on it. you know, and somehow next time I sell, it sells for 45. You know, so there's never any guarantee with the, sure. the business that I'm in. And it was just, I don't know. It's a learning curve. So I really shifted into clothing then. After the used shoes were kind of like, eh, I'll still buy used shoes here and there just to have the flavors, because I think one of the perfect analogies with a shoe store is the shoe wall of all the expensive shoes will bring people into a store. But then the clothing racks, the $100 hoodie, the $50 tee, that's what they're spending money on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a marketing gimmick in the sense that, like, I'll show you all these shoes I have, but then they're in the chat. Maybe I run 5 shoes, and then I run 10 tees that I'm making double on. So I started focusing, like, heavy on the clothing because the margins are the best. I was able to wholesale stuff out. I made some really solid, like, clothing connects. And I just started running with that. So 2023 was a pretty solid year. I mean, again, it was... I kept comparing it to 2022 and 2021, which was hard to do because, again, that was COVID. Like, this is a totally different economy now. There's not free money floating around. Inflation is at, like, an all-time high for however many years. I mean, it was up. I know last August, September, it was up, like, 8%. So, really, every $100 you're making, your buying power was, like, 90, 92 bucks.
For sure.
So, I think that played a role into it, too.
And you know, people aren't working from home anymore, right? Like, everyone, people were at home, we were all on our phones all the time, you know what I mean? Like, right. Now you're in the office, you're not sitting there on a whatnot stream, right? Like, and I think you're streaming at night, but more so, like, in the evenings, but nonetheless, right?
No, 100%.
In that routine, right? They're going to work, they're going to the gym, they're coming home, they're cooking dinner.
Right.
And they're, you know, watching whatever they're watching before they go to bed, and rinse and repeat every day.
So. No, I know. The lockdown was total hell, but honestly, like... I wouldn't mind another 3-month lockdown, you know, like I just to have everybody on their phone, I'd be screaming every day.
It's so true.
But yeah, 2023 has been a good year. It was a lot of trial and error, again, just finding different clothing to sell, different clothing brands to sell, just sourcing different inventory. You know, the problem is too, people sell me, they see me streaming and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to sell 500 items a week, just like Hayden. And then they start buying the same brands you're running, and the whole market on that brand will tank because they're selling the tees for $35-$40 in their stream, and they come in my stream. I'm usually selling for $60-$70. My price is dipped down because, well, why would I pay more in this stream when I know other people have it?
Yeah, and I can get it cheaper. Over this guy.
So it's been really hard because you think you hit a gold mine with a brand, and then you realize that it's kind of tanking. So you have to. It's always about being dynamic and just finding different things to sell.
It's like being that Amazon seller that was always like, all right, you got to be ahead of the curve, right? Like, what product's going to be coming up next? Like, I remember a buddy of mine that sold for Amazon was telling me a story about pools. Like, it'd be the summer would just end, right? And he'd go buy these pools, these inflatable pools in bulk, like kid pools, kind of like not really kid, but like in between pools. And he would buy them in bulk because he knew the next summer he could sell them and make a huge pop because he'd be down then, but high, you know, 9 months from then. So it's always like that fire and ice, like what's hot, what's going to be coming up, and having that foresight almost to
exactly
feel it.
No, and I think that's, I mean, that really defines who makes it as a salesman, as a brand, as opposed to who sits there and stays stagnant. I mean, I think anybody that's trying to run a business, a great piece of advice is you always have to be dynamic. Don't get too comfortable. You cannot be static. I mean, if you were a reseller in 2017 and you bought 300,000 Huaraches or 300,000 Roche runs, look at where it is. I mean, look where the market is now. Every year there's something hotter. Jordan 1s used to sell at least $40 over retail. Now they're selling $80 under retail. So it's what you're selling now, what you're making good money on, what's working for you now is not always going to be what's working next month, 3 months from now. You always have to have the gears grinding on how to keep the wheels turning.
How did you develop your audience on Whatnot? Because shifting from brand new kicks, like the hot kicks, and you had the in and having that audience shift over to I'm selling t-shirts now. Like, how did you make that connection and garner interest and develop an audience on Whatnot?
So I think it was easier when I came on in the beginning of 2022 because there weren't a lot of streamers streaming. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was one of the only streams on in the sneakers category in that 7 to 6, 7 p.m. Eastern time slot, you know. So it was easy for me to gain natural traction because people were just looking for something to watch. And then, I mean, the amount of money I – granted, at the end of a stream, I try to be in the green. If you add up all the losses from every stream I've ever had, like every time I've sold a product under what I paid for it, I mean, it's over $50,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So there have been, that's so cool. I think that's another way that I've really kind of gained this audience is that there might be one stream where somebody buys a shoe and I lose $30 and they got a great deal on it and they're super happy. And then they'll come back and buy a t-shirt that I made $20 on. So I think it's just the fact that I've provided these deals to a lot of people is what makes them hit the follow button and come back. But I mean, aside from that, like I'd like to say that I have, you know, a bubbly personality and outgoing, entertaining right. personality. I mean, I make a lot of people laugh on my stream, and that's just me being me. But I, you know, if I can make somebody smile, like I feel like my job has been accomplished, because that person, even if they're not spending money, they just want to sit there and be entertained. And I think that's again, what is so amazing about Whatnot. It's not just selling stuff. I'm not just trying to make money. There's an entertainment and community aspect that makes Whatnot such an amazing platform and place. But I feel like I did shoot myself in the foot a little bit. I mean, being 440 Kicks, coming on there, selling a bunch of brand new shoes, and then I start selling some used shoes. So it was still shoes. You know, I had my clientele still in there. Granted, I'm sure I lost a bunch of buyers that just wanted to buy brand new shoes. I was focused on a new avenue. I needed to sell used shoes. I needed to make that margin. And then I feel like I really shot myself in the foot by, of like, May 2023, just like focusing so heavily on clothing that
right.
these people that come into my streams looking for shoes, they'll come into three streams within a week's time span, and they see that I'm just selling clothing. Okay, I'm not going to really tap into this guy's stream anymore for shoes. I'm going to go to these other streamers that just sell shoes.
Absolutely.
So I definitely lost a large percentage of shoe buyers, I'd say, but they know I'm the spot for the clothing. So I got all these people coming in. You know, all they care about are freaking essential hoodies. I swear, every stream I go on, I haven't even had them for like 2 weeks. Yo, you got essential hoodie, yo. That's all they ask about. They're not asking about the, you know, the shoes all, as much as they were. But that's a great question, because I definitely have lost a fraction of my shoe buyers. And, you know, then I'll buy brand new shoes and bring them on and wonder why they don't do well. Well, because the people that are in your chat, they'll pay 80% off for a shoe, but they're looking for clothing. So
are you still trying to keep the new shoes alive outside of that? Or is that kind of down? Like, what is Whatnot the end game kind of thing? Or how do you see it developing? What do you see as the vision for 440?
So I have been looking at a few locations for a store as of the past week or two. I really need to set up some sort of passive income for myself, because my rep Gabe asked me, he's like, you know, if you left the country for 2 weeks right now, would your business run by itself? And my answer was no. And then he said, okay, well, you're failing. And he's right, because the only time I make money is when I turn the camera on and I'm streaming and selling stuff. And that takes a toll on you. Like, I can't, if I end a stream at 11 o'clock, like, I'm not going to bed until at least 2-3, because my mind's just spinning and racing. And it's really stressful to know that I'm the only person driving my sales and my profit. So I've tried to attack this in two ways. One, by having a few other people come on and shadow me streaming. I want to start getting them to stream by themselves. And maybe like I'm doing one or two streams a week instead of four or five.
Right.
And then I have somebody doing this stream, and then I actually had Mario shadow with me last week, so he's going to start running streams too. So if I can set up, you know, having 3-4 streams not done by me per week, and then me doing 1-2, that would help me scale and allow me to touch more passive revenue. And then also having a store, it'd be great. You have set prices in a store. It's not a gamble mode. If people want to come in and buy something, they'll see that it's a fair price, and they'll pay the money for it. I don't really want to disclose too much about the store right now, but one of them is a semi-relocation. It's like an hour away from Cleveland. So now I'm having the internal debate of, okay, how can I make this happen? Like like having to find a team to work that store, because I have about 5-6 employees right now, but they're all from the Cleveland area. They come to my warehouse on the east side.
Right.
So definitely looking to open some sort of store within this year. Allowing myself to have that passive revenue. Streaming isn't going to go anywhere. It's definitely within the 5-year plan. I don't know about the 10-year plan. I don't see myself being a streamer my whole life. But then again, this last year I bought my first rental property, the house that you visited us, and I bought that house.
Congrats.
Thank you. And that's my rental property now. My brother and his three buddies living there.
That's awesome.
But I can't make a living off of that. Right. You know, I'm making a couple $100 a month, if that. And that's assuming that the furnace doesn't go out and that there's all my profit, you know. But that's.
You're giving your brother and his buddies a little bit of a break.
I'm giving him the best deal I can possible. And it's just, you know, it's a long term thing. You know, the house appreciates whatever percent in 10 years. I mean, that's something that's, you know, it's an investment. But it's just about diversifying my money a little bit. But the shoes have always been the cash cow. I mean, everybody always asks me, yo, you're going to be selling shoes for the rest of your life? No, but that's what I can turn quick. That's what I've made my connections with.
Right.
Then that's just where I'm at right now. That's how I can get my money up. But I definitely want to, somebody came to me today with this crazy business plan. Yo, we're looking for a $30,000 angel investment. I'd be all over that. I'd love to just be able to push my money around and let it work for myself.
Yeah. You always have that, right? Everyone has their tried and true thing that they can fall back on, which is the new shoe game for you. And especially in Cleveland, right? You've established like who you are here, and you know the market knows you, and you can just turn it your way whenever you need to. So I feel like that's something that, again, like you mentioned, you've done it, you know it, you could always do it whenever you need to, kind of thing.
100%.
It's like you might as well use your time in other places and elsewhere to maximize you as a brand and as a person.
Yeah, for sure. Because again, I mean, even freeing myself up from streaming, I mean, you can tell on my Instagram that I haven't been as active as a page. I used to post all the time, post everything I have on my story, trying to make every sale possible. Now it's like, I can't even free myself up for a local meetup sometimes. It's like, yo, if you're in Cleveland, like, I'll ship it for free. It'll get there tomorrow, but like, I can't meet you up today. So it's really taken me back from making those sales and posting on my Instagram. So just being able to even have a couple streamers to run stuff and allow me to step back and handle the things I need to do. I mean, it's all about delegating what you can, essentially.
Yeah. What do you think are the other areas outside of shoes? Let's talk outside of this. Where do you see people maybe making a push in the Whatnot community?
In terms of like sellers that are gaining traction and doing well for their businesses, or?
Yeah, because where I'm coming from with this is like, I would imagine listening to this right now, there's probably people out there that are like, wow, like this Whatnot app sounds like an awesome opportunity, but I don't even know how to go about it. And like, I don't know anything about shoes. I don't know anything about clothes, right? Like, I know the card business and trading cards is a huge one, but I guess maybe less topic, but more so, how would you even go about getting into this and making streaming potentially a possibility if you're a listener?
Well, if you guys are watching and you have some sort of niche, let's say you're a sports card collector or memorabilia collector, or you sell plants, I would definitely at least download the app and watch other streams and see what they're doing. I mean, again, people that are coming on trying to do what I do, they'll take notes from my page, right, and implement it in their own streams. But I think the first show that you ever hold is probably the most important show, because the people that come in, again, that's if are they going to hit that follow button or not? Mm-hmm. And I think it's about having a personality. I think it's about making your streams different and exciting. I really think that's the biggest. I mean, it's hard. The competition is at an all-time high. I mean, again, like I said, I was one of the only streamers on in that 6 to 7 p.m. time slot. And now you look at any point in the day and there's at least 30 sellers live in a stream. Wow, I mean, they're bringing on 30 new sellers every week. I think it was every couple days they're bringing 30 new sellers on. Because, again, you got to imagine, I mean, Whatnot's collecting 12% of any sale turned on their application. So, and they want to get their app out there. So they're trying to bring all these sellers on and bring those sellers' followings onto the app. But I think you got to do your research, download the app. If you're into selling something, you know, see what works with people, see what doesn't work with people. I mean, maybe you're into cards. You know, are you going to do card breaks? Are you going to do solo sales on cards, like dollar auctions? Are you going to pin prices? And just be a personality and just have fun with it and be yourself. I mean, people are going to shop with you because you're you, not necessarily. Yes, you'll have people in there buying stuff just because of the price, but if they like you, they're going to be into what you're doing.
Yeah, right. Like, you buy into a brand. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And Hayden, you're a big aesthetic guy. You've always been like, I've told this story on the first pod, but just to reiterate, I remember walking into your dorm room your freshman year, and you had that massive wall of the Travis Scott Reese's Puffs. And I just remember that striking me. It hits me a lot, actually. I think there's great wisdom in the notion of the aesthetic that you bring, right? Like, I mean, right now, like, you're fitted out. It all is harmonious, and even with the chain, right? Like, it all goes together. And you mentioned setting up the background in your streams as all the flashy shoes, and it's like, hey, I have these shoes. Look at how great they look. How did you build, or why is it so important? Why is the image so important? How do you recommend that people stay to that image or develop an image? Because you've always been so good at that.
Right.
And known the importance of it.
No, of course. So again, to backtrack, again, Whatnot is not just selling stuff. It's being a live personality, and having your own live personality is portraying who you really are as a person. And I think one of the biggest things was it happened accidentally. Supreme, a couple years ago, they released these candy chains. And it has a big block, and it says, I should have worn one today, but it has a big block on it, says Supreme, and it's just like a regular candy chain. And this one stream I was about to run, I was like, I think I have a candy chain. Like, let me just throw it on. I kind of want some candy while I'm streaming. It'll give me a little energy. And I wore it, and people were like going bonkers over it. They're like, are you wearing a candy chain? I was like, hell yeah, bro, it's Supreme candy chain. And like, I became known as like the candy chain man. Like, I didn't even mean to do that. Like, people would just like come in my stream and I wouldn't be wearing it. And they're like, oh, I'm unfollowing you. You're not wearing the Supreme candy chain. Like, people were like joking around about it personally. Sure. So I was just like wearing a candy chain every single stream. People got the biggest kick out of that. And I became known as like the candy chain man.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's about, you just have to figure out a way as to when somebody leaves your stream or turns their phone off, how are they going to remember you? Was it your personality? Was it that you made them laugh? Maybe it's a joke that stuck in their head. Or was it that I was wearing a candy chain? They're like, dude, that dude's a goofball. He was wearing a candy chain. But like, that's, you kind of become known for that. And that's why I bought this chain. I mean, straight marketing expense, right? Just being that 440 character. I want everybody to know who I am when they come on. And then they'll see me at a show and like, oh, I remember you from somewhere. And then they'll see the channel. Oh, you're 440.
Yeah.
So it's just about connecting that dot with a random person just coming in your stream.
How interesting. It's amazing how it all comes to be, you know.
It is. It really is. It's funny that it'll happen accidentally sometimes.
Absolutely. And speaking of just kind of the shows and everything, is that still part of the game plan for you? Like, do you still attend them, or is it kind of backburnered as you transition out of that market?
So it was really cool. I changed my perspective on going to shows from being the seller that needed to be at every single show. I just saw a show as an opportunity to make money. Again, you have a lot of expenses involved, so you might lose money. I lost money on some shows here and there. But, you know, if I came out of that show with five new phone numbers, I thought I was doing something. Okay, these are new connections that I wouldn't have had if I came here. So, again, I was selling at these shows. Now I'm buying at these shows. So I'm going with a bunch of cash, trying to buy whatever I can just to sell on my Whatnot stream. Granted, again, you have to realize that people are paying a lot of money for their table. And, again, they might have the same travel expenses as me. So you're not always going to get, like, the best deal possible. Like, you're not going to be buying. You know, some people will have, like, crazy steals. But a lot of people need to make their money back, at least, from the show. Right. And they're priced to sell at a point where they're making money. And it's hard for you to kind of buy for their price and then, you know, make on top of it. But I go to, like, one or two shows a month, maybe one show. It's just hard now because, again, I'm the only person streaming right now. I am driving my own revenue. So having this new benchmark that I need to hit every month, it's like I can't leave for three weekends out of a month like I used to be.
Yeah.
Because that's my power show. Like, Sunday is, like, my best show. That's when people are sitting around, spending money. Those are my high-value streams. I can't be out of town on a weekend and miss that.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense.
But it's fun. I love going to sneaker events. Like, they're literally family reunions. Like, you'll just go and see the same people vending at different events. You know, you have your sneaker con group, then you have your God Soul group, then you have people that go to both events, and you're like, yo, like, it's just amazing.
That's awesome. And you're reconnect. Just such a staple in that community, so I'm sure it is. It's just like a kumbaya fest.
It's a lot of fun, yeah, and I used to say if people were wearing my wristbands at shows, if I see you wearing it, I'll give you a candy chain. So I always had a couple in my bag. And,
nice.
And we were just in Fort Lauderdale, actually. This dude, so I have wristbands. I'm on number 10 right now. Actually, number 11. The 10 just went out. And the theory is when I open up a shoe store, depending on what series you have, how old it is, there'll be different valued coupons. So, like, probably. Series 1 will be like a $30 coupon, but, like, the newest one will be like a $5 coupon.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always tell people to hang on to them. And if I see you at a show, you're getting a candy chain. I was in Fort Lauderdale Sneaker Con. This dude had my first wristband, which I only made 500 of. Now I do 2,000. And he had, like, the third one. He's like, yo, bro. Like, you're my favorite streamer and whatnot. Like, I love watching your shows awesome. And stuff. Like, and that, like, that stuff, like, almost makes me cry. Like, I love that. Like, because for me, I'm just a random dude. Like, you know, if you catch the vibe, like, you catch the vibe. But I'm not trying to be, like, some superstar, like, clout chasing guy.
No, yeah.
And then I gave him a candy chain. I was like, bro, my last one. Here you go. Like, I just love that stuff.
That's what people love about you, Hayden. I touched on it earlier, too. But just to kind of go back that way, the humility that you've always had always strikes me and I think is admirable and something that most people want in their life, right? They want to be humble. And to that end, you've always been philanthropic. And do you have any outreach ideas? Where are you in that world right now? Kind of how are you able to give back?
Right. So as you are probably aware of, I ran in 2021 and 2022 my 440 Kicks for Kids event with University Hospitals.
The last time we were tuning in, not to cut you off,
no, you're good.
You were gearing up for that second one. We had talked about the first one. You're gearing up for the second
okay.
one.
And, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sweet. So ran the first one, 79 shoes given out. It was a great event. We did a year two. That was like 120 shoes. The only drawback with that and the thing that kind of made me sad was either some parents will come to get the shoes or, like, people don't show up for their shoes. Like, I want to be able to hand the kids the shoes, you know? And it's not just to shove the camera in their face and show, like, oh, look at how good of a guy this is. Like, no, again, that was a personal thing for me because not being able to afford those shoes as a kid and then being – and also understanding the importance of having new shoes and then bullying that goes on in these schools, it was a full circle moment for me to be able to give back to the community. It wasn't some PR stunt. I'm not looking for a pat on the back or, oh my gosh, Hayden's such a good guy. Like, I was going to do it whether or not the news showed up, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of sad that some kids don't show up, you know, because just seeing their reactions opening the shoe and the kids jumping up and down and stuff. And we get their gender when we like have a size sheet to buy for. So I make sure they get like color coordinated for genders and they get, oh my gosh, it's all pink. This is my favorite color. Like,
that's fantastic.
Love that stuff. So 2023, I wanted to keep it like a yearly thing. I moved into my warehouse as of last June and hired like full-time employees. So I was just dealing with so much on top of like, just the craziest, like, mental relationship that it would be a movie. Like, if I explain everything to you, start from finish, Joe, like, it would be like the Truman Show type stuff. Like, if I, you wouldn't even believe it if I told you what I was going through. So just 2023 was the craziest year of my life. I, even to backtrack a little more, I started off the year with having my partner, I'll call him an employee, stealing $20,000 from me, which was, I gave him my Amex card. He'd go around to stores and loop for me. And he would just buy shoes, and he would get paid $5 a shoe. Whether or not I was going to make money on it or not, he was going to make money. I was covering his gas and his food. Like, he had a really nice gig just driving around to these malls, making connections, getting paid. Yeah. Come to find, he was mixing in designer clothing at a couple stores like Exhibition and Next, who have, like, they'll have the shoe releases, but they also have hype clothing.
Exhibition, and those were the some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, crazy stuff. And expensive, too. Mm-hmm. And he, those would be the couple receipts he didn't bring me, you know, like, he didn't always have all the receipts, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, this is my boy. He traveled to how many shows with me? Like, I trusted him. I've been over his family, like, great with his family.
Right.
So I didn't think anything of it. And then it came into like month three of him looping, and he would bring like 30 shoes. And I noticed that the credit card charges were like 8,000 for that day. I was like, okay, something's not adding up. So I went back like 3 days and added it up. And I, just within those past 3 days, there was a deficit of like 15,000.
That's
like,
crazy.
Holy crap. Like, what's going on here? Start calling these stores up. They're reading me the receipts because, he, again, he didn't bring it to me. You know, freaking, he's mixing in Nike bras for his girl. And he's and there's toddler shoes in there. And there's and the Rick Owens jacket and an off-white backpack. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I confronted him about it, and he tried to blow it off. But then come to find, he bought all this stuff for... He tried to play it like he was buying it for a client, and he was going to sell it to his client and then just surprise me with a wad of cash. And I was like, that's BS. This stuff was all of his size,
too. Yeah.
So I ended up taking a 20K hit from that. Granted, I was able to return some of it, but still. So I started off the year with that. Then I'm dealing with all this warehouse stuff. I couldn't find a spot that was, like, the right size and the right price. Like, I was just, like, stressing out knowing that I'm going to be leaving my house soon. And it's like, okay, I have to pick up my operation from my house and move it somewhere. Like, I can't move back in with my dad. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be enough room for that. And then finally finding a spot and then dealing with buying the house and then dealing with this crazy-ass relationship that just, like, took everything out of me. It was just, like, a crazy – so I didn't have time to run my charity event. I couldn't make it happen. Yeah, yeah, so at the end of the last year, we did, like, a whatnot giveaway where I bought, I think it was like 75 pairs of shoes. They were just like all like kids' shoes, sizes like 1Y to 7Y. And we just ran giveaways, our whole whatnot stream. Uh-huh. And basically, if you won the giveaway, all you had to do was let us know, is it for a boy or a girl and what size? And we were just pumping giveaways as we were doing auction. So we were able to do a little give back, but hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, this year we're going to bring back the University Hospitals.
That's awesome. And it's kind of fitting almost. Like, it's God works in weird ways, right? Like, it's fitting that year, the big whatnot year for you, really, it was, of course, the year you do a whatnot giveaway. Like, it's almost like, again, like, meant to be kind of the cherry on top of the whole cool streaming story in a way.
Yeah, no, it was really cool to be. It was cool. A lot of people were grateful for it, so.
That's tremendous. It makes me happy. In this world, now that you've brought it up, how does a relationship fit into this? How does you have a, dare I say, obscure way of job, right? I feel like people are not familiar with how you would be living your life. And so how does a relationship kind of fit into that?
I mean, after going through the stuff that I went through for, and that was like a year and a half. I mean, I'm really like not looking for a relationship right now. She had a lot of hangups on the streaming thing, like a lot of jealousy. And like, I'm a very outgoing person. I mean, she would sit there and call me flirtatious. And I mean, you can ask people that are in my chat every day. I'm by no means like that. So I think the person, if I was to get in a relationship, the person would have to clearly understand what I'm doing and be okay with it and be supportive of it, because I need a partner that's going to push me forward. She was dragging me down too much and just too much negativity.
Yeah.
I can't have that. If you want to join, if you want to be on my side, if you want to be on my team, like, I need you to see the end goal with me, and we're going to get there together. That's, and I'm going to help you with whatever you're doing in your life. Maybe you're a photographer and you have your own side hustle. Like, let me help you with that. Let me put you onto my connections. Like, I just want to be able to build and grow with somebody. But I am by no means focused on a relationship right now. Like, that is not, I need to focus on me. I need to reset, and I have my own goals to hit. So that's kind of in the back of my mind.
Yeah. It's tough, right? Like, I feel like to have such a personality like you have, and then to be doing a field that isn't like go to work, come home at the same time, it takes someone who's really confident and someone who's willing to ask questions, not from an interrogative, like, I'm interrogating you way, but in a way of curiosity, in a way of trying to understand and develop with you way. Right. Because then they can dive in with you. And without having that, you're going to have just friction.
Right.
And there's so few people who, A, ask questions to begin with, but B, ask anything in a way of development, right? Like, it's always, why is it happening? And there's always that ulterior motive, and that's never going to propel you forward, like you're saying.
Exactly. No, and I just, I'm a big energy guy. Like, if I could just not be around negative people, I can't.
Amen.
I cannot allow that to drag me down. And I've been reading a lot of good books lately, and it's just like focusing on your mind and not letting other people's actions affect you. If somebody wants to be negative towards you, it's because they're not happy with themselves and they're going through something in their life. Don't allow that to bleed onto your personality and into your mood for that day, because you don't have to associate with that energy. So it's a very important thing. If you want to get to the top, Joe, you know, you got to stay focused. You got to have your morals and goals and everything in check, and there's nothing stopping you.
That's the truth. Now, Hayden, you bring up two things that I've been reading to ask you, and it kind of correlates perfectly. First one, you obviously had to get rid of your employee at the time when he robbed you of $20K. And secondly, you're a guy who's goal-oriented, and you have to be when you're running a business. And like you already mentioned, 5-year, 10-year plan. So let's connect those two. First of all, how do you go about setting goals? And secondly, how do you make tough decisions? I guess being robbed of $20K makes it a little bit easier, but this is someone that you trusted. But how do you make the tough decisions and really pull the trigger when you need to and execute to the fullest potential, like getting rid of someone when you need to, or cutting out a relationship that's not good for you, and so on?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the problem with my relationship. I let that carry on way too long, mm-hmm. like way too long. And there were some other circumstances that held me longer than I should have been there, like through deception and lies and stuff. But when something is making you not you, when you're going to bed stressing out about, you know, you can't focus on your work because somebody's making you feel a type of way, like that's when you realize you need to sever the ties. I wasn't feeling myself. I wasn't focused on my work. I knew that there was a problem. You need to be able to tell yourself, Hayden, like, snap out of it, bro. Like, you got to separate from this negative energy. You need to be able to focus on yourself. The only time I've had to let an employee go was when he had robbed me. So, I mean, granted, everybody that I have on my team now is, you know, they see the vision with me. They're showing up to work every day because they want to get there. I think there's a clear differentiation between an employee that just wants to work for a paycheck and then an employee that wants to be a part of your team and a part of your vision.
That's awesome.
So I think it's, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, and granted, everybody that works for me, I've kind of known for a few years, but it's like, you know, do you just want to get paid? Like, are you just going to show up and just do the bare minimum just to get it done and get paid? Or mm-hmm. do you really want to be here for 5-10 years and realize that there's some serious growth opportunity here?
Yeah.
So I think that's important for any employer, you know. I mean, maybe you're a landscaping business and your employee turnover is pretty high. You know, you just need somebody for a summer to lay some mulch bags down, and you don't, you know, as long as they get it done, you don't care. But in a business like this, where it's like live streaming, like wanting to run a store, like there are certain responsibilities that employees need to pick up and be able to handle to get there. Because again, I can't do everything myself. And if I put bigger responsibilities on them, so far they've handled it very well. And I'm sure. I'm very impressed and proud with my team. But that's really important to meeting those goals. I mean, I guess in 2023, you know, at the end of the year, I do my goals at the end of the year, I'll see my numbers and it's like, okay, well, obviously I want to grow from this. I think we did like 1.2 million in total revenue in like 2022. So I just sat down, okay, I want to do 2 million. And then sitting down at the end of 2023, we did like 2.2 million. And I was like, okay, I want to do 4 million. Yeah, and it's like, that's a jump. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But like, we're shooting for the stars. Like, I'm looking to bring some streamers on. I want to double the revenue we're doing. Like, let's do it.
Absolutely.
And then it's about setting those mini goals. So, okay, you want to do 4 million on the year. Like, what does the month to month look like?
Mm-hmm.
So then you start breaking down revenue goals for month. You know, just efficiency in terms of like your profit margin. Okay. I want to have at least a base of 15% to 20% margin, you know, month over month. Having those different goals, like, okay, I want to buy another rental property. That's on my to-do list this year. Either buying another rental property or becoming like some sort of angel investor for some sort of company. I just want to put money in some sort of long-term investment this year.
Yeah, let it work for you.
Yeah, a lot of work for me. But again,
let it work for you.
If you got to shoot for the stars, man. I mean, if you guys are sitting down writing goals for the next year and you're like, okay, I did a million. Let's do, you know, 1.2 million. It's like, what kind of goal is that? You know, like you have to, it might seem outrageous what your goal is, but like, you know that you're striding that much further to get there. So I might not hit 4 million this year. We might do 3.5, but who knows? If I sat down and wrote my goals that I wanted to do 2.5, I might not have done 3. So
true enough. Yeah. Right. And who knows if you would have done the 2.5 because you wouldn't have put in as much work. Right?
Exactly. And the goals are so important because, I mean, you have to have an idea on where you want to be and you have to have like confidence in yourself to be able to hit those goals. I mean, 4 million sounds like a crazy number, but like after seeing what I did this year, I have confidence we can do there. It's just about, you know, putting the pieces together.
Absolutely.
And goals are so important. I mean, that keeps your business on track. Again, you cannot be complacent and get comfortable. The moment you get comfortable is the moment seven other dudes run past you and, you know what I mean? Where are you going with it?
Yeah, that's a famous Mark Cuban quote who, I mean, the guy is who he is, right? There's a lot of controversy with him, but strictly as a businessman, he always said, he always basically said that there's always someone who wants it more. Like if you let yourself slip, someone's right there to take it.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're saying, because it only makes sense. In any industry, there's someone who's putting in the hours, putting in the grind, and is constantly getting better. So the second you become stagnant is the end of it, right? And there's two ways to do it. You could keep developing, or you could be Uggs, and you could sell boots that everyone wants every year. Right. And that's it. Like, you have one thing that you do to the max, and that's the Ugg idea, right? Or you do what you're doing, and you're constantly evolving. Like, you have, again, the new kicks to fall back on always.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you know, but you're constantly emerging. So I feel like there's like two ways to go in any business. And that's essentially it, right? You want to diversify from there.
100%.
That's awesome.
No, you said that perfectly. But just to backtrack really quick to talk about the whole goals thing. Whether it's personal, like whether you're just setting goals for your personal life or like your business life, there are different categories that I feel like you need to hit on goals, okay? Because you have financial goals, which is how much do you want to do in revenue? What do you want to profit? Where do you want to be at financially? But you also need to have like spiritual and personal goals as well. And I think that's a big thing in being a successful business owner and just being successful in period is you can't just focus on how much money's in your pocket. You know, you need to focus on your personal health. So, okay, my goal is I want to get to the gym 5 times a week at least. And where I'm sitting in the sauna 5 times a week, because that's my therapy. Like, I need that. I quit vaping a couple months ago.
Congrats.
So now, Zinichino, I'm actually going to toss a little Upper Decky Chatty in here. But, you know, I'm still on the nicotine, but the goal is by the end of the year to be off of this because the vaping was killing me for a little while.
Okay.
And then you need to have spiritual goals, too. Like, I stopped going to church. Like, I was an altar server boy growing up. Like, church every Sunday, like, super involved with, always gone to private school, like from St. Anthony to Padua to John Carroll. That like that's just God has always been a huge part of my life, and going to church was as well. And then I kind of like when I went to college, it kind of start not going to church as much. I'm not living by my parish. It's not like I'm waking up with my boys to go to church. So that's my goal now too, to get to church at least twice a month. And then also reading. Like I want to read at least 2 books a month. I have on my goal sheet that I want to read 25 books this year, but I'd like to shoot for 30. So just like reading more stuff and not like fictional stuff. I don't want to say self-help, but like just like personal enlightenment books, how not to overthink. And like, I'm reading this book right now. I recommend anybody watching to read it. It's called The 4 Agreements. It's just like 4 agreements that if you live by, like you will always have personal peace and realize that other people's negativity and energies, you know, they don't have to rub off on you and affect how your day goes about. So I just think that's important too, because you need to be a well-rounded person. It's not just about the money you're making. It's about making those personal and spiritual strides as well.
That's fantastic. That's so fantastic. Those areas are going to make you so well-rounded. And what's funny is like when you tap into that inner confidence, that inner peace and that solemnity, then your business, everything really in your whole life correlates with it.
Oh, right. Yeah. No. Oh, and I guess another thing, like I'm stretching, like I do 20 minutes of stretching before bed.
Dude, that's so good.
I'm praying every night again before I go to bed, just waking up, doing a couple stretches, like making sure I'm drinking more water, just like more healthy routines to just keep me on track and focused.
I've shared this several times before, so not to beat a dead horse, but every day when I get up, the first thing I do is shower. Like I'm immediate, like shower, done. So I hop in the shower and it's like that water hits me and I'm like, all right, it's go time. Like it's another day and I'm like, all right. I'm always like, God, thanks for another opportunity to like experience the world, right? Something to that effect. It's like, God, I'm like, God, thanks for this day. And then it's wherever I go from there. It's like usually something along the lines of, you know, let me be influenced by you. Like, let me be influenced by the people that I encounter. And hopefully I can do the same for other people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because each day and each experience we have is an opportunity to A, experience God's grace, or and B, at the same time, be God's grace. So I think that's like basically my prayer every day is like, all right, you know, I get to do that again. I'm down for that. So
amen. Yeah. You always got to thank the man upstairs, because you're not where you are in this life by yourself. I'll tell you that much.
And while we're talking about it, Hayden, when you run a business, especially as it shifts to like online, right, you know that you could constantly be doing more, right? You can constantly be creating content. You can constantly be pushing things out there. How do you spend time with yourself and make sure that you're good in the head, good, healthy, you know, physically and everything. So how do you spend time to make sure that you're good, not getting burnt out?
So I want to say in 2023, I've neglected myself in a lot of ways because I was just so focused on my business. Mm-hmm. And then just, again, this relationship, like any moment I wasn't spending on my business was in this toxic relationship. So there wasn't really any time for me. I was seeing my family maybe once a month. Again, my parents are divorced, so it's not like I can just go back to my parents' house and see both of them at the same time. Sure. My brother's at college now, so it's not like he's just sitting around, you know. So meeting with the family is more of an endeavor now, but it's such an importance because whenever I leave my dad's house having a dinner or something, like, I just feel grounded, you know. Like, it just reminds me where I came from. Like, you got to spend time with your loved ones. Again, today could be their last day. Today could be our last day. Mm-hmm. So do I really want to sit there and you know, somebody passed away in the family and then kick myself like, man, I should have just stopped working for this one day and just got dinner with them.
Right.
So 2023, I really neglected that. I mean, I'd see my family maybe once every other month. But this year, again, that kind of works into my personal goals, like just having time set aside for myself. Okay. And another nice thing was moving my business to a warehouse because I was waking up with my inventory all around me. I was waking up and I was just in this work mode because I got all my shit downstairs.
Yeah.
And now being able to differentiate that, like when I lock my warehouse and drive away, I'm decompressing. I'm away from the work. I put my phone down. That's why I have two phones now. Again, I can put the one phone on the charger, and if somebody texts me, I'm not checking it till morning.
Yeah.
Another thing, like the amount of times I check my emails, I'd have my email notifications on. Every time I get three emails, I was on my mail app just deleting them because I just, you know, I'm a very organized, like, semi-OCD person. I just turn my notifications off from email. I'm going to check it twice a day, once at noon, once at 6. That's it.
Yep.
Just being able to like step away a little bit and just disconnect. And it's really hard to do when you're fully connected. You know, I mean, everything I do is on social media, basically on the streaming. So like, and every time I'm buying something, it's off a phone call or a text. I'm constantly getting lists of inventory. Hey, you interested in this? Running numbers on my phone, texting my employees, this and that. Like, just to be able to disconnect and allow myself to have me time has allowed me to reconnect with myself and realize how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think taking vacations are really important too. I hadn't taken a vacation in 2 years. I finally went on like a little week trip with the guys in January. That's granted, awesome. There was a sneaker con in Fort Lauderdale. You know, I like to hit two birds with one stone. we weren't going ham, right? You know, yeah. we just bought a couple things, but I mean, that really just puts your life into perspective and allows you to like pat yourself on the back. Like, wow, you got here. Like, wow, you have a warehouse and a rental property now. And like that in my day to day, that means nothing to me. Like, okay, that's just another thing I did. But then like on a vacation, you're just sitting there like in a hot tub, relaxing and thinking about it. It's like, okay, like,
yeah,
let's go back and do it, you know, two times as hard. Like, it kind of allows you to fuel up.
Yeah, salute to that. I mean, you got to celebrate, right? It's that Jim, like, we're Browns guys, it's that Jim Schwartz defense idea. You celebrate every play, right? Every good play you celebrate, small or big. Because if you only celebrate the massive ones, then you don't get to celebrate the day-to-day, too. So it's that idea, right, that you know what? You're going to raise a glass to that and enjoy it because you worked for it. You earned it.
Yep. You got to count those W's. Everything is a W. Waking up in the morning, W. Taking a shower, getting yourself together, making your bed, W. Going to the gym, W. Like making phone calls, W. Like everything is just a little win that adds up in the grand scheme of things.
How do you keep that positive attitude all the time? Like what, like when you have to fire an employee who stole from you, when you have those things that don't go as well, what keeps you going in a positive way?
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just blessed to wake up and live another day. Yeah. I mean, all this stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter how many bare bricks or collectibles I have in my house. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not taking that to the grave with you. So just to be able to wake up and realize you have another day, another opportunity to do it again, like, that should be the backbone of everybody, honestly. I mean, yeah, it sucks to have your employee steal all this money from you and realize that you wanted him with you long term. You know, like, I'm sitting here, something that obviously it's something I would never do. And it's like, well, why was he biting the hand that was, you know, allowing him this opportunity?
Sure.
He could have made how many more thousands of dollars with me if he was still here with me right now.
Yeah, right.
But that's not how everybody thinks, and that's why you have to different. Okay, everybody's different.
Yeah.
He doesn't think that way. He wasn't with this team. He didn't see the vision. So it's just about realizing that you can go out there and find other people that are a part of your vision, and that's what we've done. And you got to stay positive, man. I mean, not every day is going to be a sunny day with rainbows, but it's just about being persistent and being consistent and not letting those little roadblocks knock you off the road, because if they knock you off the road, you weren't meant to be in the game in the first place, is how I see it.
Fair enough, right? Dance in the rain, as the sayings go. You know, I ask this question every time to all my guests, so I have to hit you with it again. As you look back, whether it's over the last, you know, 2.5 years since we last sat down and did this organized, or just again looking back at your life as a whole, do you have any regrets, Hayden, and where do you find those manifesting in your life?
I try to see everything as a blessing, so it's hard to, like,
yeah.
Sit there and say, I mean, I regret spending time, like, I regret lengthening the amount of time I was in a relationship with this girl because it just drug me down. So like I just think I could have made how much more money if she wasn't a part of my life for this many months. But at the same time, like, everything's a learning experience. Yeah, that was, I went through some mental torture and just like just not being happy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I came out of it a stronger person and I learned a lot about what, about myself, about what I want in a relationship, about seeing red flags in a relationship. So anything, I don't think I fully regret anything. I mean, if I was going to the bars every weekend with my guys and just like neglecting my business and just doing all this stuff that wasn't focused on my end goal, I would regret that. But I have to say, I haven't really strayed off the path of what I want to do and where I want to be. So, I mean, aside from the things like, you know, having somebody steal from you or just going through a bad relationship, I mean, those are all learning experiences. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret that because it's made me who I am.
Yeah, amen.
So I guess I don't have any major regrets. If I didn't drop out of college, I would have regretted that. I mean, dropping off after sophomore year, that was the biggest decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Thankfully, again, having the support from my parents, like, helped me make that decision, because if they were, like, anti it, it would have been even harder to do that.
Yeah, so brutal, right.
But no, I can't say that I have any major regrets.
Dude, when you have a mindset like yours, that's kind of what happens, right? Like, it's people who are drivers and doers, the people that are moving and shaking are people like you. So it's hard to say, like, yeah, I have a regret, because it's so counter to how you actually think. Uh-huh. That I feel like that's what kind of happens, is like, no, I don't have a regret because I learned X, Y, or Z. No, I don't have a regret because I trust that when I look back at it, I'm going to connect the dots,
right,
and see the whole picture. So with that, how do you surround yourself with people like that? It's almost like you're not off anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're hanging out with these people. You're hanging out with people who have similar mindsets and that are the drivers of the world almost. It's not like you're off. You're not spending time just messing around. Like, you're talking business, you're talking growth and that kind of thing. But it's so refreshing, you know? It's so revitalizing in its own way.
Yeah, I think it's really important who you surround yourself with. I mean, for sure. Even when we just took that 30-second break and we were talking, I mean, it who you surround yourself with is really who you are as a person. Like, that really bleeds off to you as a person. So if you're hanging around these dudes that are just drinking and smoking and neglecting their lives and neglecting their own personal health and don't really have any drive or any sort of motivation, I mean, they're going to drag you down, because even if you're the most motivated one out of the group, they're dragging your productivity down by how many ever percent, you know? I like to surround myself with, you know, you don't have to be a business owner, but like, I want you to be a motivated person that knows what they want in life. And just even surrounding myself with people like that, I feel like I'm better off, because we're always bouncing ideas off each other. I mean, every time Mari and I hang out, like, we talk some stuff that could be $1 million ideas, you know, just like shooting the shit. Like, it's just fun to like, okay, why don't you do this way? And then he's giving me advice on my business just because he's DJing the back and he sees how certain things, okay, why don't you set up lights here? Why don't you get a mic instead of like using your phone mic? So just having that, those people around and that are also providing some sort of constructive criticism is really important to your growth as a person.
Yeah. I think those are all the connections too, right? Like, it's, you develop that set of network that expands, and then it's more opportunity, it's more resources, it's more drive, and it just keeps getting bigger, and the spider web grows from there.
Yeah, because I mean, the network is the biggest thing. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, your net worth is your network, because it really is about who you know. It's not all about what you know. Yeah, it's great to be intelligent and to know what you're doing and to be financially smart, but I mean, when you surround yourself with the right people, I mean, it's like building an NFL team. I mean, you got to have the right players on your team if you want to win the Super Bowl. You can't just throw a bunch of guys that like are big and meaty and look like they're good at the job. Like, you have to have well-rounded individuals sitting at your dinner table, and that's going to help you go forward.
Spot on. I always also ask, as you know, about gratitude, but I feel like we've really touched on it a lot. Like, I think that throughout our last conversation over the last several minutes, we've hit on the importance of gratitude and what that looks like for you. So I would ask you, then I'll push you in a different way. As we sit here today, what three things are you most grateful for?
The fact that I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm here. My support system and my team, I'd say. Just the people that are in my life. And
it's a great way to phrase that, too, by the way.
What would the third thing be? I guess just the talents and the gifts that God have given me to be the person that I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have the support system and I could have the opportunity to wake up every day, but what would I make of it if God didn't put this in me? You know, I've been a driven kid since a child, and that's because of who he made me, you know?
That's beautiful. Yeah. As we kind of gear towards the end of this podcast, Hayden, what do you want to say to the audience? What are some closing thoughts? What's your piece of advice, again, either tailored to a specific group or to the audience abroad?
Quick side note, I want anybody to know that watching that Joe doesn't have like some hidden like notepad underneath him. Like, he is just like phenomenal at just like the way he carries these conversations and just like transitions into the next segment. I mean, this guy's a natural.
Thank you.
I just want anybody that watching, like, everybody has talent in them, and it's really about, have you tapped into your talent or not? And if you have a passion or a motivation or a drive to do something, you got to go out and do that. Nobody's going to give you the blueprint on how to start and maintain a $1 million business. Like, it's all about going out and getting it yourself. And I think that you just need a little bit of push, and maybe it's just me talking to you right now. Just go out there and do something about it. Like, if you are into selling something, download Poshmark and eBay and Grailed or whatever it is you're selling. Like, find where you can sell that product, find where you can source that product, and like, just try it. Just do it. Like, you're never going to get anywhere if you don't try. And a lot of things in business are trial and error. And if you sit there and just like, oh man, I wish I wasn't working this 9 to 5. I wish I was a business owner. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Like, do something about it. Make a website. Like, figure out what you want to sell. What are you passionate about? What makes you happy? Like, maybe it's selling shoes. Maybe it's selling plants, like we talked about. Maybe it's doing landscaping. Maybe it's some sort of service. Maybe you're into sewing or knitting or something. Like, whatever it is, like, go chase that. Don't let the people that are around you that are so set on the 9 to 5 life tell you that you can't do it.
Right. Amen.
Because they want the security of the 9 to 5, and there's no problem with that. Everybody's different in life. People want to go to a job. They want to have their 401k. They want to have their salary that they're making. They're happy in life. But when you want to bounce an idea off of them, and it's like, yo, I'm thinking about quitting this job and starting up this company, and they're like, dude, why would you do that? Like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah.
They're not going to help you get to where you want to be, so you got to say, screw that stuff. And I think one of my favorite stories ever, if I can share really quick, is I don't know names of the timestamps, but it was like early, like 1400s maybe, and they were these Spanish conquistadors. Am I saying that right?
That's pretty close.
And they were coming over, and they were coming somewhere in Mexico, and they were looking to like take over this village. And there were maybe, I don't know, 500 or 1,000 men, and they pulled up to this village of like 10,000 plus people. And the captain was talking to his men, you know, hey, we're going to take over the city. Like, we are going to take over the city. And they're looking at their manpower like, well, we're way outnumbered. So he went and he burned their ships. I think they came over on like 3 ships, burned all of their ships, and said, we either take this place over and we succeed, or we're going to die trying. And the story ends up with them taking over the village, and I don't know however many men they had left or whatever, but that's a saying, burn your bridges, burn your boats. And I just think that's so important for anybody that's trying to do something. Is like, sometimes you just got to cut off ties. You just got to leave school. You got to leave work. You got to leave whatever you're doing and put everything in you. When I jumped out of college, it was like every morning I woke up, there was like a fire under me. Like, I got to make this work. Like, I'm not in school anymore. I'm not going for this degree to be an accountant. Like, I got to make ends meet. And that just gives you that much more motivation, knowing that, like, that's your only choice.
Feast or famine, right?
Yeah.
Feast or famine, sink or swim. It's when you have that pressure, you're going to do it. And kind of to add on to that too, Hayden, I feel like a lot of times people look at it from like a fiscal situation, right? It's all like, oh, well, but the capital that it takes to start something, or the capital that I could be losing if it fails. And I mean, frankly, you can always make more money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no one's like, dive into that 9 to 5. There's thousands and thousands of jobs out there. There's so many opportunities. Like, if it's at the end game, if it's about the money, you can always make more. And I think that that's a big driving force for a lot of people. So,
yeah, money's like a river. I mean, it comes and it goes. I mean, what's the point of making money, one, if you're not going to spend it? And two, I mean, it's like, you can't, if you're not willing to lose $500 trying something out, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. I mean, there are always risks involved in any way, in any business you're going to take action towards.
And you only find out how to better manage that money the more you do with it. I have this story. This one time, I run a bunch of fantasy football leagues when the season comes, and it was the end of the year prior, and I put all the cash in an envelope before this, like once everyone pays, and I put it in an envelope. That way it's not just sitting in my bank account, because you know how that goes. You know, 7 months later, it's like, oh, okay, wait, I don't know what happened. Just like, right. It's like, I've changed banks, every other thing. Anyway, so it's in an envelope. And I remember I went and got gas this day. I was delivering some of these envelopes. I was meeting up like with a couple people. And I thought I had moved enough money like around. Long story short, I ended up throwing out like $500 that was in cash in one of the envelopes, because I had thrown out some of the other empty ones.
Wow.
And I remember then I go and I'm like looking back at my house. And I'm like, all right, good. Who else do I have left? I'm like, oh my God. Like, I had to have just thrown out this envelope. Right. And it was a big learning curve for me for a lot of ways. That was an expensive lesson about how to get organized and that kind of thing. That was a really expensive lesson, but it made me think further, like with business and with the way that you're trying to grow something, not you, but you being anyone, there is a cost to it.
Yep.
It sounds so apparent, but when you actually lose it, like again, I remember sitting in there when I got home and I'm like, okay, I just threw this money out. But when I'm in life and when I'm doing things, you're only going to become more efficient if you take the hits along the way.
Yep.
And so that's an important lesson. And with the money, like, it's, you're going to find ways to, A, make more, and grow your business, and B, cut your costs. But you're never going to do either of those things if you don't spend the initial. So
right, failure is always going to be a cost of business, and it's like, and some people can't react to failure. Some people see failure and they're like, okay, like this wasn't meant to be. I can't do it. But the real people that succeed are the ones that recognize failure and see it as a learning experience and go, okay, how can I overcome this? How can I work around this? How can I make it so this never happens again? And those are the people out there winning right now.
That's the truth, right? It's always about how you get back up. Someone had just sent me the Morgan Wallen voice audition. So Morgan Wallen's on The Voice, like the singing show. And it's a very common story, but of course, you know, he made it on the show and eventually was kicked off the show, and they had him singing like alt pop, like alternative kind of pop, like a little bit raspy pop. And then of course he's a massive country star who doesn't even need an explanation. And so it's funny how just right, if failure meant the end, then he would be nowhere. And right. Of course he just stuck to his guns and sang what he wanted to sing too. And is obviously probably the biggest definitely the biggest star in country music, one of the biggest stars in the world for sure.
No, I love what you just said there. Failure is not the end. Failure should be seen as a starting point, if anything. It is not the end.
It guides you, right? It guides where you're going.
It does.
And this made me think of this, too. I think, like, having great conversations like this is something that's so motivating, too. So I'd really encourage people, that anyone that's listening. I know I asked Hayden for his insight, and I feel like I've talked more than he has at the end here. But I feel like important conversations are what really motivate us, and they expound our brains. And, like, I just think – I'm not a science guy, but I picture our brains like rapidly firing as you're having a good conversation, which has to be good for the brain. Uh-huh. So I would encourage everyone to really have meaningful conversations, ask the questions that matter, and get to know the people that are around you, because it's the biggest blessing. So
100%. Again, it's all about the people that are around you and just being able to have these productive conversations. I mean, you never know what's going to arise from this.
Yeah. Amen. Hayden, anything else? What's on your heart? While he's thinking, I want to give a quick shout out to Cheddar Studios here in Cleveland, Ohio. We're sitting in their studio today. Really grateful to be here. Tommy and Mario and the rest of their team, they are fantastic. So we're real appreciative to be here. I know Hayden knows these people very well. So I'm sure he wants to say something too.
Yeah, no, 100%. Shouts out Cheddar Studios, Tommy and Mario. If you guys are in Cleveland or need any sort of product shots done or any sort of marketing, website building, product videos, anything, look up Cheddar Studios. You guys can book with them. They are one of the best, if not the best, in the city. They've done brands from Lyrical Lemonade to Celsius. I mean, they do a lot of great work here. So definitely check my boys out if you guys need any.
And they are great guys too. So the work coincides with who they are as people. It's a real pleasure. So we're grateful to be here.
I guess the last thing I would say is if you guys are going through anything in life where something's bringing you down, or you have a negative force in your life, or maybe you're in a relationship that you think is toxic but you're trying to work it out, I just want you to really have a conversation with yourself tonight before you go to bed, or maybe have that conversation right now. Are you really happy with where you are in life? Because again, this is the one life we're given. And if you're not happy with where you are in life, you need to make a change. Because again, you are the only person holding yourself back from making that change and from bringing yourself that happiness. So don't let all these external factors really bring you down when you have every power to change that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have ended it any better than that. You will be seeing that clip all over Chats with Clark and hopefully over 440, because that is fantastic. It's beautiful. Hayden, again, you're so dynamic, and all you have going on is just vibrant and beautiful. So I appreciate you being here and sharing, you know, your graces with me and having this amazing conversation for part two. And of course, fittingly on episode 44, like we so graciously pointed out earlier.
No, of course. Again, I appreciate you for having me on. And I mean, this is really the only podcast I've ever been on. I mean, it's so great to just sit here and shoot the shit for a little while and just be asked these questions. And I hope people that are watching maybe got some free game, maybe had a laugh. I hope this was an entertaining watch. I hope you guys took something away from this because we talked about a lot of important stuff.
We did. And I will be tagging all of Hayden's socials and like the website and all those sorts of links into the description below on YouTube, whether you're listening on any of the podcasts again or on YouTube. So be sure to check out all that he has going on. If you have not hit the subscribe button for Chats with Clark, you're waiting way too long. Again, it's episode 44. Hit that subscribe button to follow along. And I appreciate you tuning in. Signing off of another episode of Chats with Clark, I'm your host, Joe Clark. Thanks for listening.